This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Drank white lightning when I stood in my crib. I had a moon pie smeared all over my bib. I punched my first grade teacher right square in the mouth. Yeah, 'cause that's how we do it in the dirty South. A Dale Jr. tattoo right here.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, here in beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. My sympathies are with you, fans, as you've been out there the last week, soldiering on with your lives, your schools, your work, looking online, looking to your computer screen for some sort of perspective, some sort of entertainment, some sort of a compass needle to point you where you need to go.
Looking for porn.
Ah, hark, who is that? Who goes there? Well, folks, it has been some time now since we have had him here in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. You know him, you love him. Where would this show be without him dropping by to lend his dark humor, his didactic observations in the Texas musical world? He is Kurt South. How you doing, South? So good to see you. It's been a long time.
It's good to be on the couch again.
On the IKEA
next
sofa.
Next to the Fender Super Reverb in front of the AKG microphone.
Yes.
Due east of the Focusrite preamps.
You are so into gear. Listen to this. Listen to all this gear talk.
Listen to all this gear talk.
Well, man, it's been a while. Every time I've talked to you, you've been
in the weeds,
man. In the weeds, just outside in your yard. Like, do you realize there's many edible trees growing in the average backyard in suburban Fort Worth?
Hey, man, I've been gardening and doing backyard farming like you would not believe.
There's like a baby screaming in the background, just a dog barking. South, what are you doing, man? Can you get by?
I will not be pressured. I am providing for my family in a fashion that has tragically gone out of style with the American public or something.
That's
like
all
that.
True, too. You people don't know what you're missing. Right now in my backyard, there are beans. Corn growing.
The harvest. Harvest is on.
Seven different kinds of flowers.
Edible plants.
Whatever. I've got it. Hey, when the all goes down,
you can
come to my backyard.
And hunker down,
but you know what?
What's that?
Don't know if I'm letting anybody in.
I know. Well, you got to get past you and your jug of Carlo Rossi red wine and the shotgun.
Yeah.
And the tattered robe. Yeah. Now, is there like a password I can give you to get in? Like
What
are you going to do when P2 shows up with my huddled family, just covered in dirt, you know, just going, Kurt, please.
I'll take your wife and kids.
Yeah? You'll take it? So we can eat?
I'll have to turn you away.
For a ration of food?
As
the Chinese come storming through the panhandle just to run us all out.
I don't know that there's enough food on the premises to feed the entire Pritchett family.
How long could you hold out?
As long as I have to.
You know, there's so much talk in the news nowadays about foreign debt, the United States going down the tubes. We owe everybody, you know.
Yeah.
You know how that is. And so as my guitar player Landis Armstrong, your buddy Rob Baird was in here. Landis Armstrong plays with him.
Landis plays for Rob?
Yeah. Yes. He's played a bunch of gigs with him. My old guitar player. The most philosophical guitar player out there. Landis said, man, what are you doing in January? He's like, January, you and I might be fighting the ground war in Seattle. Just looking at us going, how did the Chinese get into this? That was one of my, so I've always remembered that the Chinese, you know, coming after us. But there at the South Compound, we would be safe, yes?
You would be safe, yes. Yeah. It's walled
for,
in.
For a while.
We'd be safe.
They're not going to take you without a fight.
They don't know what they have coming if they try to storm the walls. I've got stuff they hadn't even thought of yet.
You know, that's one thing that people don't, I know, we're kind of joking here. We're kind of joking.
Not, I'm not.
Not getting any political discussion, but I was watching a film the other night about the Nazis, you know, a storm and just running roughshod through Europe. You know, and your average European guy doesn't have a, he's not just loaded for bear, you know what I mean?
No.
The French, they don't have a bunch of
machine
guns.
He just has those stylish shoes and a...
Well, I mean, they just come, so they come in with the tanks, and you just think, well, the Nazis had this war machine, they just rolled everybody over. They just rolled them up, like no big deal. And you say, well, but, you know, they don't have a, you know, America has all this violence, and it's true, it's tragic. Guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you one thing, man, if anybody ever got across the river or got across the ocean and thought they'd just cakewalk through the United States... They'd have a tough time getting past the Kurds.
Hey, I know a couple towns in West Virginia that China couldn't take on its own.
Is that right?
They had to. I wish the Red Army luck if they try to take Somers County, West Virginia.
It can be
there's more weapons in that one county.
Well, it can be a bit disconcerting sometimes to think, gosh, everybody's so armed, you know. Sometimes, but then when you I'm talking pulling back from the world, Google Earth, you zoom out and look at the Earth. You know, there are a lot of dangers out there. You think you go, man, if you tried to go street to street through the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you wouldn't get very far. I don't care who you are. You think?
Oh, man.
I mean, at least...
There was a gun in the studio today that you didn't even know about it, did you?
Well, whose was it?
One of those actors that came into audition for the video. He just walked in
presented
with
a
weapons.
Firearm.
He had a little Derringer over under.
Really?
Yeah.
Just kind of said, I thought I'd bring this with me?
Well, that's going to play a role in the video, so he came to show us he already had the guns. Yeah, there's guns.
You've got Kurt South casting for your video. Tell us something about that. You're shooting a video? Where are you shooting it?
We're going to be shooting at a farmhouse, I believe it was built in the 1920s, down southwest of Fort Worth.
John Reynolds, who shot the Bullfighter video.
The
great John Reynolds. Shot Bullfighter, shot the High Tide in the Heartland video. So he's shooting a video. What song are y'all doing?
It's for a song called No Good Reason.
No Good Reason on the new Kurt South record.
Yeah,
Reynolds said, he goes, dude, he put like an ad on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And just said, dude, I got like 150 replies. And I go, God, he goes, a day. I'm like, a day? He goes, oh, dude, they just flooded, just resumes, video clips, inquiries. It's hard to believe there's so many just actors out there looking for work.
Their portfolios that they had sent.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
They've been on soap operas, movies. Yeah,
like,
sure.
I mean, do these people realize that there is no money in this for them?
Yeah, well, it's a labor of love, I guess.
I guess it is. I can't wait till they.
Man, I don't envy the actor. Boy, oh
no.
Boy. I mean, unless you're like Woody Allen, like acting in your own movie that you wrote.
Compulsing and obsessing over everything.
Just walking the streets of New York.
Oh gosh, oh geez.
Yeah, but you know, he's the creator and the owner of the product. I mean, I can understand that, but just being an actor looking for work, it'd be hard to find a good script or a good, you know. I mean,
it's two ticks above being a woman of the night.
Yeah.
On its good days.
Oh, South. I'm already just rocking back in the chair here.
On its good days.
Where have you been? So you're shooting some video down here.
Shooting a dang video.
Golly. How's the record done? Pretty well?
Really well.
Yeah?
Extremely well.
Just giving away thousands of them, I hear.
Millions.
Yeah? Millions?
Millions.
You put like a dollar in the tip jar, you get a record?
Well, see,
how's that working? What are you doing?
It's funny because it's all theater of the mind. You tell people, hey, we're selling this album. There's this money box right here. If you want one, put something in it. Take a CD.
Right.
And boy, some musicians, when they see you doing that, they say, man, you ruin it for everybody. You need to respect your art and demand a price for it.
That's right.
And I just look at them as I'm counting $20
Hundreds
bills and
dollars.
Go.
And?
Yeah, okay.
But that guy got one for free. It's just like... What?
And I did the math as recently as, what's today? Monday? Saturday?
I did the math,
and I have made more money selling my CD that way than if I had sold it for $10.
And what you're doing is you just have you have them on a table or something, and you just have a jar. You say, hey,
no merch guy, nothing.
Take a CD.
Just take one.
And put something in the jar. If you please, whatever that is.
There are those people who put a dollar in, but they are very much in the minority.
Sure.
But I've also been given a $100 bill for one.
Yeah.
I mean, so it falls somewhere in the middle, and I wound up making more money. I paid the album off in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Well, I mean, I made my money back.
Right, right.
In like 11 days. And, you know, it's
I noticed you upticked your wardrobe a little bit. You kind of came strolling in here looking good.
Hey, man.
Nice new clothes.
I make
clothes.
Videos. I can't go around just looking
you
like
a videos,
sleep on the
You make videos,
giving
away your record. Golly, just converting, turning the world into fans of Kurt South is a full-time job.
Yeah, it amazes me. Yeah. Number one, if you're a fellow singer-songwriter, musician, or in a band, what business is it of yours if I choose to take my album and use it as a freaking frisbee?
Yeah, people
they
take it as an affront.
They always want to interject their opinion into how I conduct my business.
Yeah.
And I could give a rat's ass how you feel about the way I conduct my business.
This is a family
business.
Show.
Okay,
a family
sorry.
Show.
A gorilla's ass how you feel about the way I conduct my business.
Right.
Number two, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you want to put a $100 price tag on your album, please do.
Right.
You know, your mom
maybe they feel
buy
like,
one at that point.
Because I get a lot of that, too, when we did the $4 P2 Tunes album.
Yeah.
Got some heat from some guys.
Oh, yeah.
That makes the rest of us look bad, or people are going to want to.
Yeah.
Why do they take it as a, they think we're setting the market price or something?
Well,
I think we're underselling the market or something.
Yeah, they think that you're might maybe starting a trend that no, I mean musicians more than anybody,
mm-hmm.
they're worse than Wall Street guys
right.
when it comes to that's my money. I just you know.
Yeah.
And I think if you're having to fight for every penny that way and count, then you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Either you have an undesirable product, or
you're charging too much for it.
Or you're charging too much for it.
Or both, as
and,
is often the case.
Well, and just if you kind of get your head out of the sand and go out in the real world and interact with people, and it's a study in human nature is all it mm-hmm. is. You go out and you play a show, you want people to leave with your product.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to sell it, and there are ways to not sell it.
Yeah.
And you have to be a salesman. You have to treat it like it's another job. You have to sell yourself.
Right.
And it's easy. If you're doing it right, it's easy. It is a no-brainer. I have no marketing budget. I have no publicist, none of that stuff. It all just lands on my shoulders. Can I convince you to want my product?
That's right.
And if you want it, great. You can get it for reasonable. You can get it for whatever price you want to offer for it.
Right.
So in effect, it's just the audience supporting me going, hey, I really like it. I don't care if I'm getting one CD for $30. I want you to have that $30. Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I listen to a CD Baby. Sometimes has those CD Baby podcasts. You listen to those ever?
Yeah.
Did you listen
yeah.
to the Chris Anderson one, the guy that wrote the long tail? Is it Chris Anderson? Is that his name? With the long
tail. It's
Chris
something.
I think it's Chris Anderson at Wired magazine. Wrote the long tail that we all read. He had some interesting points to make about free, as did Seth Godin recently in one of his posts. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in our next segment here. The price of free digital goods and the potential of getting one new fan. What does it cost? In the digital realm? Maybe nothing. More on that in our next segment.
As I was standing in line, my wife went and punched her right straight in the mouth. Yeah, 'cause that's how we do it in the dirty South.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here, P2, on the P2 podcast.
P squared,
as the old days. You know what happened recently today, this morning? Pete Coatney, our old friend down the road, Jack Ingram's drummer. Years ago, I opened up for Ingram in San Antonio. This was like 2000 or something around there. Open up for Ingram.
In support of Heritage Way.
In support of Heritage Way. I probably was. So I play this show. It's a lot of people, a lot of chaos. We're loading out. I get in the van. I drive. I forgot the merch. I brought a box of merch down there. I was like, oh, man, gosh, you know. And so I get home. Jack was living in Dallas at the time. So I somehow call his road guy, calls his bass player, calls Pete. So I finally called Jack. And they're like, oh, Jack's got it. So I go, hey, Jack, I need to come get my merch, you know. And he's like, yeah, man, I think it's in the trailer. I don't know, man. I'll put it outside. So I go to his house. I get directions to his house out there in North Dallas. And I'm just tiptoeing down the driveway. I don't know if I'm getting ready to run into his wife with a pistol. It's like a Sunday morning. So I'm just kind of tiptoeing down the Ingram's driveway. I don't run into anybody, but I don't see the box. He calls me back. He goes, "Oh, it's out there. It's in the truck or something." I'm like, "What?" I go back. I look in the truck. I'm out there snooping around. The neighbors are getting suspicious. I never find the thing. So I leave. And I'm just like, "Oh, well, who cares?" So I never think of it again. Ingram ends up moving to Austin years later. I don't know. Forgot about it. Well, the other day, Pete Coatney calls me. 2 days ago. Pete Coatney is at his mother's house. His blessed mother, Mama Coatney. She's been ill of late. Our thoughts and prayers go out to her. So Pete's cleaning out some stuff in the garage. He goes, "I come across this sealed box, just this time capsule, just wrapped in masking tape. It's just got Phil Pritchett written on it. It's just got like tire tracks on it. It's like molded. It's crunched in on one side. It's wet on one side." And so he walked in my room today and just says, "I think this is yours." And I'm just like, "What is it?" I open it up, dude, and it is a time capsule of P2 merchandise.
What's in it?
Dude, T-shirts that I haven't pressed in like 10 years. Vintage Pritchett shirts.
Are you going to sell them for
hard
like
copies.
Bucks?
Hard copies in the shrink wrap of the bootleg, October Stages. Phil World CDs. Wow. Things that the light of day, well, the world has not even seen. I'll tell you what, if you want to email me right now and offer me a price for a Phil Pritchett first pressing Phil World or a bootleg October Stages, there's Phil Comes Alive with the big writing on it. The only copies that anybody has of Phil Comes Alive right now were redone when we did it with Smith Music Group.
Yeah.
Not that that's any big deal, but they look kind of funny. Hats with the frayed bill with the little P2 with the oval around it and the little 2, the big P and the little 2.
Oh, yeah. I had one of those.
Yeah, ones. Yeah. So there they are. It was so fun. I just opened it up and there's a Ringer T-shirt.
So the box is here, right?
It's sitting right there in the office. Go rifle through it. Help yourself. Vintage Pritchett shirts. Haven't even been printed in 10 years. Let me tell you what. If you think I'm going to let those shirts go for 20 bucks a piece, you're sorely mistaken. Shoot me an offer. I'll shoot you the shirt. Phil at philpritchett.com.
I will give you $2,000.
$2,000? For the whole box?
For the whole box.
You can probably get that back pretty quick. You know? Well, man, our friend, you're talking about giving stuff away. It's such a hard topic.
Yeah.
So debatable. My $4 for a Phil Pritchett album off P2 Tunes had a lot of heated discussions with guys in the band, other artists. So, anyway, the thinking behind one of Seth Godin's recent posts was, you know, if you're making pizzas, and let's just say, man, after the cost, you know, you're selling a pizza for 10 bucks, after the costs of sauce, flour, yeast, and whatever, your hard costs, I'm not talking labor and renting the building and all that, hard cost to make a pie, let's say, is 2 bucks, okay? It's an $8 profit per pie that you sell. That's your margin. Well, man, what if you, quote-unquote, give a pie away for 2 bucks or something, you know, you get a $2 pizza or something? Well, you're not spending any money, and you might be getting some more customers, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at that in the musical realm. His point was kind of like, man, so what is the cost of digital goods? A song, like you or I would make, a video, something like that, that we let people see or experience for free, it might garner you more fans. And what's the real cost of it? And the answer is
it's
nothing.
A marketing expense that doesn't cost you anything.
Well, I mean, you know, you might pay to someone to help you edit the video. You might pay to record, but
it's less than you would pay a publicist.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And here's my theory on the way I'm selling my new album.
What's that?
Is there are people who spend tens of thousands of dollars
right
to a radio promoter to get spins on the radio. That's how you get played on the radio, folks. You have to pay.
Have to pay for it.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, I don't care.
What's the going rate? Let's just cut to the chase.
It's like $3,000 for a 6-week run.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've heard as high as $6,000.
Yeah, I have too. $3,000 is like.
I guess it depends on how reputable the promoter is.
That's the budget deal.
Yeah.
So, and listen, I know lots of guys who have spent
anyone you've
lots
heard on the radio.
Money.
That's how they got
They're
there.
Spending I mean, a ton yeah. of money. Okay. So I look at it as if I go out and I press a couple thousand CDs, and even if I don't take any money for them, even if I just give them away.
Right.
All right, that's costing me about $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
and people, 2,000 people, all of a sudden directly have my album in their hand.
Right.
They have the product because that's the end result. That's why you want to get played on the radio, is so people will hear you and go buy the album, right?
You justify the cost of 10 grand so people will hear me and maybe
right.
become a fan.
But the way it works on radio is, say you go spend $10,000 or $12,000 to get a single on the radio,
uh-huh.
you're hoping someone will hear that song and like it enough and actually go purchase the CD. Well, I'm cutting all that out and just getting it to them right away.
Right.
And it's only costing me $2,000 or $3,000 compared to $10,000 or $12,000.
That's right.
And people who argue with me over that, I think you either can't do math,
yeah.
you're dense, or you just refuse to open your ears and look at the way things really are.
That's right.
But the old way, listen, I will never pay a radio promoter
right.
to get my music played on the radio, because I can find a quicker, easier, cheaper way of getting my music in the hands of the people who need to have it. And you know what? If it didn't work, I would be out of business.
That's right.
What I keep telling people. My business grows every year, as does yours,
uh-huh.
and if we're so wrong and we're so stupid, then why are we not out of business?
Yeah, that's a good
and,
question.
And we, you and I don't spend a tenth of the money that other artists do.
Right.
We don't use any of the music business things that are in place, that have been in place for years, agents, managers, publicists, radio, all that stuff. We don't
right.
use any of those people. So if we're so wrong and we're so stupid, why are we not?
Is that what they're saying about us? We're wrong and stupid?
Yeah, a lot of them are. I hear this crap all the time. And I just want to go, look, you have an insolvent business at the end of the day.
Man,
that you
that's true.
Feel better about because you're spending all this money. You got to spend money to make money. Granted, but I
yeah.
don't have to spend much money to make money.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it
I mean, there's any number of bands you can point to examples and go, man, he spent a good 10, 15 grand making his record.
That's on the low
end. And a good 10, 15 grand putting a single out there. You're talking 20, 30 grand. And they're telling us that and you're kind of like, man, that's 30 grand of red ink.
Mm-hmm.
I just walked down the street and played for $100. I'm plus $100. You're negative $30,000. Who would you rather be? But unbelievably, people will still look at the guy with 30 grand in the red ink and go, but that guy's got more going on. He's got a bus. You're kind of like, I'm going to say it one more time. He's negative $50,000. Now, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he starts selling out places, okay. But I mean, I'm talking if he's still opening for me, which is what a lot
there
of them
are guys driving tour buses between Abilene and Fort Worth.
Yeah,
but don't even get me started on that. So, 99% of the guys in the Texas Red Dirt thing who have a bus cannot justify it financially. They do it because they want their mom and dad and their brother and sister and their friends to think they've made it. And they are paying a dear price in order to have that perception. And that's I was telling a friend of mine in Nashville who was in the music business a while back. He was just like, dude, I don't understand what you're doing. Why are you doing that? Blah, blah, blah. And I told him, and he didn't believe me when I told him,
mm-hmm.
you know, how this is what I'm doing. This
sure.
is how well it's going.
Right.
And he's I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that. You'd be on my radar if you were doing that. Like, all right, well.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I'm.
Well, you start to put, again, pen to paper. You're kind of like, man, if you can go out and make a few hundred bucks a night after paying your band and your gas, you know, you say, man, I'd do that 120 times a year. And it's not fancy, but it's more than a living. I mean, we're, there it is.
Yeah.
Well, man, my ex can't leave the house for less than a grand, man. We got a bus and just. It's insolvent, man. You're absolutely right. And the other thing is just the bands, man. Just the four or five guys in the band splitting it five ways. I mean, if you just think about it, everybody think about that out there. If you're getting ready to start a band, you want to make a living playing music. That's ultimately the goal for so many guys. They just go, man, I just don't want to. I'd rather play music than teach seventh grade math or something. You know, that's kind of the conclusion. At least the entry-level deal. If it's you and your high school buddies, man, think about the expense of making records and traveling, just gas and hotel, even if you don't do the bus and all that, or the manager. There's still a tremendous cost of running it. And you go, man, and then let's say we profit, okay, capital P, profit $150,000, which is damn near impossible to do, unless you're really well-known. Man, well, okay, now you divide that by five guys in the band, that's everybody getting $30,000. Is that right? Do you have that calculator over there? Isn't that right?
That's right.
Hey, and man, if you could do that, you'd be like selling out.
You'd be places. Selling out clubs.
Yeah, I mean, you would be everywhere. You'd be big. You'd be huge. And I think that is a comparable financial scenario to a lot of hugely popular bands that you see every night in the bus and hear about how much they're kicking ass. I think you'd be very humbled to know that, well, man, you know, how much does each of those guys get when it's all said and done at the end of the year?
About 12 bucks
an hour. What was the drive-by truckers that they still – I mean, how big are the drive-by truckers?
Oh, yeah. A couple years ago,
I mean,
they
– There's one band. I mean, they're not a Red Dirt band, but certainly a well-known band. Packed places, been around forever. Everyone loves them.
Yep.
Tour bus. You know, what are they doing?
Well, it was a couple years ago.
They've always been very frank with their.
Yeah, I read an interview with their one of their frontmen,
Patterson Hood. Yeah,
and a couple years ago they took an opening slot, opening up for the Black Crowes.
Yeah.
For a whole summer.
Right.
And Patterson came out and said, "Well, a lot of people were wondering why we did this because we've been headlining our own tours, blah blah." He said, "We needed the freaking money.
Yeah,
our house, a couple of our houses were about to be foreclosed on.
Yeah,
we were all just dead broke. You know, we had to do this or else the band was going to have to break up.
Right.
And I've seen them play several times. I mean, talk about a band that I mean, they draw more than most any of the Red Dirt acts.
Oh, they'll come to the House of Blues and have 500 in there, 1,000.
Oh, no. They will sell out the House of Blues.
Wow, okay.
I mean, we're talking, you know, in most, they sell out most every club they go to in America, play small theaters, things like that. Tour Europe. I mean, they're a big band on a big label.
Management, booking agent.
They've got it all.
Road guy.
And they're all in their. Patterson Hood's almost 50 years old.
Yeah, people.
They've been around over 20 years.
Yeah.
And man, they had to do this tour to get them out of the mud.
Yeah.
So Lucero, they made a very very popular band.
Yeah, and it made the movie. Yeah, we're talking about them.
Dreaming in America.
Right.
Well, they make this movie and just talking about how we all live in this loft in downtown Memphis together. Used to be owned by Elvis Presley, which it's not that nice anymore. You know, just four guys touring Japan, touring Europe, all over America. And at the end of the year, we all make like $11,000 a year.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it blows your mind sometimes when you look at these people you perceive as being big, successful, and you realize that, man, they are doing this for about what they could make at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's right. That's
they really are. I mean, I've met a lot of guys who I thought, man, this guy's huge and he's got to be making a living. It depends on what you call a living.
That's right. Well, you know, to take the $150,000 a year example, cut that in half, okay? We'll put that number at $75,000 a year. And say you have no band. Say you're able to go out with just your guitar, kind of like a Todd Snyder or somebody, who does considerably more than that. But someone starting out, you're kind of like, well, he's not that big, you know? He just plays around. But people do go see him. Mm-hmm. He rolls into town. Well, you start dividing $75,000 by one, and it starts to look pretty good. You know what I mean?
That's my business model. Don't pay anybody.
Oh, man. You know, I saw a great documentary on YouTube with the film director Robert Rodriguez, who did, he's done recently Spy Kids and stuff, but he did a Desperado, Antonio Banderas, but he came to fame with a little film called El Mariachi. You ought to check it out. El Mariachi, made it in Austin for $6,000. And it's about a mistaken identity thing. But just the low budget, man, but very creatively shot. A lot of action. The guys have, water balloons with red syrup in it and like super slow-mo just getting shot. And he filmed all this great stuff. El Mariachi, check it out. His deal was just, man, to be a great artist, you have to simply refuse to spend money. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, what? He just goes, refuse to spend money. It will force you to find a creative way around the problem. And then it's just even more artistic. If you have the money hose, you just spray it on it and it goes away. He said, to make my film, to get guys jumping off of buses and stuff, we had to use all kinds of camera. We couldn't just say, oh, we're just going to rent a bunch of stunt guys to do it. We had to shoot it in a certain way that made it look compelling. And it came off kind of weird and the lighting was weird. He goes, man, but it just came off cool. And I think that's just good. These guys we're trying to get a keyboard player and stuff. I'm like, dude, what, you're playing for free? Why would you have another guy? I mean, he's not going to play for free forever, you know? I mean, just
right.
See if you can get a guitar and some songs and go out and make anyone give a dang, man. That's the whole step one process.
Hey, and you know what? The guys who can do that,
Think about it.
They're the ones who are just better.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I run into some guys who lament playing with the band, how they don't make any money. Like, why don't you go out and, well, I don't do that, man. I'm a band guy.
We're a unit, man. That's usually
code for you probably aren't good enough by yourself.
Yeah,
and
right.
You've got to have all that noise behind you.
Sure.
And hey, Todd Snyder doesn't need anybody, and he'll sell out a theater most anywhere in America. Yeah. You know, and Guy Clark and guys like that.
John Hyatt, all those guys. If
you're playing really great material and you can sing and you can play, which is not a prerequisite in Texas and Red Dirt, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well.
Then you can do that. So
listen to the South just spewing vitriol in every direction here, all over Trinidad World Recording. Somebody get a mop. Now we're going to get into the vault in the next segment. We haven't even discussed. You know how these podcasts get made? Are they all plotted out, written out? Absolutely not. They're made like a great Pritchett show or a great Pritchett album that you love. It just happens right in front of you. What are we going to do in the vault? We don't even know. We'll find out here in a few minutes. Stay tuned for the vault next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Oh, Kurt South has been making me laugh here for the last hour. He has selected the great album. We're here in the vault now. We're here in the vault. South has been here just spewing opinions all over the place. We had to get a mop to clean them up. They're all over the floor here. Spewing vitriol in every possible direction. Didactic musings on his musical life. Thanks for joining us, folks. Always call us, Phil Pritchett, 817-733-5256. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. And thanks to all of y'all who send me emails about you know, what's going on, your thoughts on the podcast. I read everyone. I respond to everyone because I really enjoy reading them. It's what keeps it all going. Thanks for listening. Well, here in the vault, we selected one of the most famous album covers probably ever. The great record, the one and only record made by the band Blind Faith. Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, Steve Winwood, and who else? Who's the other guy?
I don't know. That's what I was just trying to figure out. I couldn't remember who the other guy was.
It wasn't the other dude from Cream, was it? No, it wasn't the other guy from Cream.
No, it
wasn't Baker.
Jack Bruce.
Anybody play bass?
They don't even say
who played bass.
I don't think they had a bass player, did they? I thought Winwood.
Of course, everybody knows the song, just Can't Find My Way Home. Outstanding. Man, just... You know, I went to that Clapton Winwood, it was Winwood opening for Petty, man, but Steve Winwood can still sing, man. Have you seen him lately?
I saw him.
He looks the same.
God, that guy's awesome.
I'm
a big Steve Winwood fan.
He just plays the B3, just sits there, just...
And can play guitar?
Yeah, he does it all.
Just a rare vocalist.
Let's see what we've got here.
Creepiest album cover ever?
It is very creepy. You've got a nude... you know, kind of adolescent girl on the cover.
Kind of adolescent. Very adolescent.
Very adolescent. Kurt says she looked like Colin Montgomery. Of course, people know that from, it's a little golf reference there. This is driving me nuts. Who's playing on this thing?
It didn't say. Mm, it doesn't list who it is.
Oh, there's a picture of four of them there.
Well, I know, but it didn't say, didn't give names.
It's got to be
it's just an also-ran.
Yeah. Oh, man. You got Baker. I read that Clapton book, you know, the biography, his autobiography. And the Blind Faith deal was weird. You know, Cream had broken up. And, these bands all started with Clapton. It was amazing. He just got together and jammed with people. He's a guitar player, really, first and foremost, of course.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a band leader, singer-songwriter. You know, not really. That really wasn't his thing. People think of the Unplugged, you know, Tears in Heaven and... the sensitive singer-songwriter Clapton guy, but you know, back then he was just far from that.
He was a session guy,
and
he was the Landis Armstrong of Britain.
That's right, Landis just sitting in a castle, just getting drunk, playing music. But yeah, this was an interesting period for him, man. Blind Faith, of course, Can't Find My Way Home. Winwood's vocal is just so great on that, man. Had to cry today. God, there's all sorts of just...
Presence of the Lord.
Now, that's a Clapton song, Presence of the Lord.
That's a classic, too.
Outstanding. Yeah, dude. Presence of the Lord is great. I have finally found a way to live, just like I never could before. I think that was the only song you wrote for this record. It's like six songs, you know.
The way an album should be, people.
That's right.
The way an album should be.
You got Had to Cry Today, which is great. Can't Find My Way Home. A cover of Well, All Right, Buddy Holly.
Ginger Presence Baker of the Lord. Wrote a song on there.
Yeah. Do What You Like. Yeah, that's like the jam, dude. It's like with the drum solo. Like, it's just jammy and far out, man. You know, why don't records like this get made anymore? You never just hear, like, man, this is a four-song record of Cody Canada and some other dude and Phil on bass. They just jammed for 2 days and they had this record. Would that be something worth pursuing, or is that just everybody just going, whatever? Everyone makes these records just, you know, trying to get on the, like we're talking about the radio, just trying to get on the radio.
Everybody's just trying to make their bus payment.
I know, man, but I wonder if you could make a few bus payments by just getting some guys in Trinidad who can play and just do a couple. I don't know. It'd be interesting. You know,
maybe, yeah.
I mean, through all the years, 70s, 80s, I mean, you had certain, like the Traveling Wilburys or something. You had guys get together and make a record just because it was fun.
God, that'd be creepy watching you and all those guys pull up in here and with your tank tops and white Reeboks on.
Yeah, right. My Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, who would give me a super group we could form? You and me. We'll start it off. It'll be Phil Pritchett and Kurt South. You'll be on a stool in the corner with your acoustic.
I would refuse to play on the album.
Yeah, you would, but would you still want to be there? Just to cut us down and make snide comments.
Yeah, I would. Who would be the great super group?
Don't give me some player nobody knows either. It's got to be someone with some marquee. It's, hey man, he plays for this guy or this guy.
I would want.
Who are some good guys? You know,
Cody Braun.
Okay, he's a good guy.
Cody Braun.
Multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah, and he's just cool. Yeah, I don't even know the guy, but he's just cool.
See, man, bring your fiddle. Good singer.
Bring your mandolin.
Mandolin, fiddle, bring it in. Okay, so we have him in there. And I can play any instrument reasonably. If I got to play bass or something, or I got to play organ, or I can do something if we have a bunch of guitar players. Who can who you put on drums? Who's a good drummer? Good drummer.
Man, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Free
form, just, man, great guy. Email us in. Who do we get for the super group? Pritchett
drummers,
South
drummers,
super group.
Drummers,
Pritchett
drummers,
South drummers. Super group. I'm trying to think. All these guys play with the click track. They've got the double kick pedals. Out on that. We get Cotney.
Yeah.
We get Pete Cotney on drums.
Cotney on drums. Bass and guitar players.
Bass is tough. Maybe you could get a...
Plato. Jeremy Plato to bring Plato? In like a nine-string bass.
Nine-string bass with a flanger. Then maybe like Alex Whedon on guitar.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be good, you know?
Whedon
something
would be
like
great.
That. Yeah.
Great, great. Do they have to be Texas guys, or they can just
be... Yeah, well, just people we know. You
people
know,
so, we know.
That would be fun, you know. I mean,
Jordan Powell on rhythm acoustic guitar.
Jordan Powell. my old road manager for Miranda Lambert. He'd love that gig. He'd show up and do that.
You know,
sure.
Oh, no. Guitar player Rich Brotherton from Robert Earl Keen's band.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Well. How does this tie into Blind Faith? Well, man, Blind Faith, that's what they were doing.
Just jam.
It's fun, man. They didn't tour. I think they played one gig in Hyde Park or something, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the ultimate band, the one that doesn't tour.
That's what I'm going to do. Hear me now, fans. The next... Well, I'm going to do a Pritchett record. You know, we'll do a Blueprint Garage and all this. But then there's just going to be some album called, like... Well, what can we call it? You know, Fat Burger USA or something. And then we just... It's just a jam. It's just one night at Trinidad. It's like 10 songs. Just the loosest, jammiest, weirdest
thing. It's
got to
be dark, though. It's got to be one of those covers where you're wearing a bearskin rug and tearing up. Just
That's
call
right.
it Tears of Blood.
Any darker
like
than this than caught in a topless Colin Montgomery on the cover? We don't want to do
just
that.
Quit showing me that. I'm surprised the FBI hasn't raided this place and arrested you for having that.
I don't think you couldn't do that today, could you?
No.
And probably good.
Boy, they probably
good.
Got that out of Pete Townsend's personal collection.
Oh, jeez. Someone hit the drop button over there.
We'll be hearing from Pete's lawyers for that.
Oh, man. So what kind of Wynwood stuff did you get into? Did you get into his solo stuff in the late 80s, early
90s? Of course. That was
Roll With It, Baby.
Back in the High Life?
That's a good song, yeah.
All those songs are good. The production was just dated it. But, man, those were all good songs. Steve was he's like the... Kind of, you know what he kind of reminds me of he's almost a Van Morrison kind of guy in the blue-eyed soul vein. And,
yeah, he does.
But he's much more of an instrumentalist than Van is.
Yeah.
But
people know also his vocal on the old Spencer Davis. So glad you made it. You got to
Steve Winwood.
He was like 17 when he did that or something. 16.
I mean, Steve Winwood's been in. You know, he was in Traffic.
Yeah.
Blind Faith.
Traffic, Spencer of course. Some people might not know. Traffic did
John
Dear
Barbie
Mr. Fantasy, play us a tune. John Barleycorn Must Die. That's a great song. Google that. Go to iTunes and download John Barleycorn Must Die.
There was a man a thousand here.
That's a great song.
That's awesome.
Just
that's
an
good
epic
stuff.
Poem.
Yeah.
A Celtic flute throughout there.
I tell you what I like about Steve Winwood
What's
is
that?
Just that he...
The pleated pants in the 80s?
Well, when I saw him on TV
a
while back and he was jamming with Clapton, if you ran into him off stage, he looks like he's on his way to a golf tournament or something.
Yeah, very, very, very straight-laced kind
He's kind of a British version of Vince Gill. Because Vince Gill, what I love about Vince Gill is you'll run into Vince Gill... And he's wearing
khaki shorts and
he just looks like he just got done at the driving range, but
a black golf shirt with like a woven belt, you know, leather woven belt with
and he pulls out a Telecaster and just shreds your face off.
Like a nice gold Rolex.
And he's always
watch.
Got like you know 20 beers in him.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But Steve Winwood's just kind of like that. He's just
hearsay. Hey, did you ever hear the story that Vince Gill is a Phil Pritchett fan?
Oh, yeah.
This is a rumor. This is a rumor. But
very unsubstantiated.
Very unsubstantiated.
Rumor.
In fact, it's been decried by a few people. But, you know, I produced the Texas High Life album, and they were recording with Rodney Foster, Blake, and the guys in Nashville. Yeah, I ran into Vince Gill somewhere, and they said oh, we made this one album with this guy, Phil Pritchett. And supposedly Gill kind of perked up and went, oh, yeah, man, I got a couple of his records, man. I got... Was the one like Cool and Unusual? Like he named one of the albums. Like we couldn't believe it. We're like, what? Oh my gosh!
Get Blake on the phone. I want to grill him about this.
Blake Myers. What was the story? Forgive me if I'm telling it wrong. That's how I heard it. That's how I chose to remember it. Okay. I just basked for that one day. You know, you love it when you hear something like that. I hope it's true. I hope Vince Gill's walking around with his iPod on just jamming the P2 tunes all the time.
Just doing the...
Why didn't this guy call to produce one of my records? Gosh, can't get anything done in this business. Vince, call me. 817-733-5256. Blow my mind. Let's make a record. Oh, man. What else you got, South? Anything else on Blind Faith? God, there's not much to talk about here, except they got a couple songs and a great record.
They're just good. They're just great. Go check them out.
Blind Faith. I love Ginger Baker's drumming, dude. So all over the place. All over the place and just fantastic. Clapton, dude, at his most experimental. Great stuff.
All right,
stuff
here's a question.
Days. Uh-oh.
Looking at one of those pictures on the inside.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Are any of them on illegal drugs?
You know, Winwood looks pretty sober. Everybody else looks pretty strung out. Man.
Ginger Baker always looks like he just got done dipping into the heroin.
Yeah, I think so. I love that they're just in his house, that they're just like, Clapton just made these albums just wherever, you know, he just would record and that was it. It was just no big deal, you know, no big deal. Did you read Lefsetz's deal on Steve Miller and the Beatles?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Very good.
Maybe we can talk about that in the next episode. That's pretty good stuff. Well, folks, that is our episode today. What is the episode 58? Good grief, we've come a long way. Thanks for keeping us keeping us going out there, folks. Your emails, your listening, man, it means so much when I get to a show or check the old email and people are like, hey, man, enjoyed the podcast, that was funny, or you're crazy, or whatever. We always love any kind of feedback. Very much appreciated. Thanks for listening to us out there. Call me, 817-733-5256, to book Phil Pritchett and the full band, or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Don't be surprised when I email you back immediately, just saying, yes, let's do it. Yes, we can. That's what you're going to get from P2, man. So bring it on. Come record here at the studio as well. And thanks to all of y'all who have done that and have called. And come for your free tour and free chicken fried steak looking at the studio here. Kurt South is back. It's been so good having you back, man.
It's been nice. I've missed the couch.
You always bring so much to the table. So many opinions, so much experiences, and your dark, didactic view of life. It's starting to make sense to me. It's starting to scare me a little bit.
It's right. It's just right. You need to embrace it and go with it. You'll embrace be one it. Of the few survivors.
Embrace it and go with it. Well, you heard it here first on the P2 Podcast, folks. Take care. We'll see you next week. And be good to each other out there. Body holds a key.